welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. November is National Novel Writing Month, a big event encouraging people with a bent for creative writing to produce a 50,000-word novel in 1 month. If that sounds like a tall order, maybe you have ideas for a memoir or a novel but aren't ready to take it on by yourself. Well, the folks at the Midwest Writers Workshop may be able to help. Kathy Day, who teaches creative writing at Ball State University, has put together an online novel writing course with the workshop. It's being offered right now.
A few weeks ago, Jama Bigger, the Midwest Writers Workshop director, asked me if I would offer a class. They're starting to offer online courses to sort of supplement the teaching that goes on at their conference every summer. And I said I would. So I took a class that I've been teaching at Ball State for about 6 years on novel writing, and I figured out how to present it through screencasts so that anybody can learn along with me.
Screencast being?
They're PowerPoint, basically, presentations that I record myself talking through. So each person in the class watches a series of usually four per, there's like four modules, and each module has four submodules, and so you kind of go through each of the submodules and do writing exercises, and the class discussion part of the course is done through a Facebook group, a secret one, and so the people in the class are able to help each other, spur each other on, learn from each other, and I'm in there also to answer questions.
I take it success doesn't necessarily mean a completed novel. That would be good, but it sounds like just the process, just kind of being guided through the beginning of it.
Right. One of the things I stress in the first module is just a module on preparation. And I try to show people, like, here's how to create a writing regimen. Here's how to hold yourself accountable. Here's some suggestions for that. Here's how to gamify the process that you're going to try to go through. How to keep track of, you know, how many days in a week that you write. I guess the biggest part of that last, that first module is that they have to take a book that I often use called Election by Tom Perata. It's a short, pretty simple book, but I kind of show them how to take it apart and use index cards to, I call it reverse storyboarding. You take a book and you break it down into different colored scene cards. And it's like taking an engine and figuring out how an engine works by taking it apart and putting it back together again. And I guess the most important part about that process is when we read novels, we just consume them. We're just sort of passively experiencing them. And when you try to write a novel, you realize you've done that for so long that you really don't understand how they work. And so this kind of makes you very aware of how, I call them through lines, the different character arcs or themes and or relationships, how they weave their way in and out of the book. Because that's really the secret, I think. The biggest change between a novel and a short story is that a short story might have one or two subplots at the most, and a novel has so many of them. I used to think that a novel was just a really long short story, and that's not it at all. You have to think about writing in a very different kind of way than you might be used to. And when you see how a published book does that, then you sort of recognize, I need to, as I write my own novel, decide what color is this scene? What through line does it belong to? And then see how you could arrange your cards in a way to come up with all these different potential structures for the book, chronological or non-chronological, in sections or just in chapters. How long will the chapters be? So it allows you to sort of see that all in one fell swoop.
Can you start with a novel, or do your writers need to start with a short story in terms of figuring out how to do this?
Well, pretty much what, you know, fiction writing as it's taught in the academy is pretty much based on writing short stories. They're much more manageable. But with this class, I just kind of start assuming that everybody who's taking the class has probably either read a short story or attempted to write one and has just been never able to get past that page 15, page 20, page 25. That's the story I hear a lot from people, is that they'll say, I've got this idea for a novel and I started writing it, and then you get to a place and you're just like, I don't know what to do now. So my class is basically about, we don't start with short stories. That's probably already happened before they took the class.
The Midwest Writers Workshop is an opportunity for people to get some inspiration. There are people who come to this.
Every July, the Midwest Writers Workshop has a conference, and they've been doing this for over 40 years. Some people like actually plan their summer vacations around coming to Muncie to go to this conference. And one of the things that many people have said over the years is they're like, I get so inspired when I come every summer, and I would just like to kind of keep that inspiration going throughout the year. So they decided to offer these classes, and I think it's kind of cool. They decided to call it MWW Ongoing, not MWW Classes, but Ongoing, meaning that they're trying to figure out ways for lots more people to make being a writer a part, more a part of their identity throughout the year, not just once a year. I think that I am spoiled in many ways because, you know, I teach creative writing, I work with other writers, and I realize that for most people, that's not the story of their life. They come to the conference because they need that periodic reminder that they want to be writers, or they want to feel like a writer for a while. And I think that anything that you can do to maintain that sense of identity over, you know, the periods of weeks and months and years, that's a really good thing. That's actually what National Novel Writing Month does, I think, is that it gets you writing, it gets you a sense of you're really making progress on something, and it puts you in contact with lots and lots of other people who are doing it. And I think that's why so many more people today than, you know, say 50 years ago feel authorized to write, is that there's that we have this way now through technology to connect with each other and to teach each other. Like the fact that, I mean, I've gotten requests for years. I wish I could take this class. I could take a class with you. But at Ball State, we got more students than we know what to do with. There's really not a way for me to let anybody into my classes. But this is a way that I can kind of provide that.
Have you taught online classes before?
No.
It was a thing for a while. Remember the MOOCs?
I think that in a way, this class is kind of like a MOOC, in that when you have a lot of students in a class, you can't really grade papers. You can't really, you know, do that kind of work. And the thing about a novel is that you don't really want anybody reading that thing until you're pretty well along. So really what this is a kind of guided self-tutorial through how to start a novel. That's kind of that's the title of it, how to start a novel, not to finish one, just what you need to know to kind of to get started. In that way, I think it really lends itself really well to an online format, because I don't have to, I mean, a lot of people ask me when I teach novel writing, like, how do you read all that? And the answer is that I really don't. At the very end, I read about 20, 25 pages from each student. This is my face-to-face class at Ball State. But otherwise, I just try to stay out of the way and kind of guide people through that process. I kind of liken it to taking a studio art class, and everybody is there with their easels and they're making art, and you're just kind of walking around and sort of, you know, adjusting here and there and kind of keeping an eye on what they're doing. Like it's a novel writing studio, sort of.
Kathy Day, Associate Professor of English at Ball State and creator of an online course called It's Time to Start Your Novel. The course is available through the Midwest Writers Workshop. The workshop itself is next summer, but you can find the course online now by going to Ongoing, as in ongoing education, ongoing.midwestwriters.org, and then clicking on course directory in the upper right. The price is $150. It's being offered right now. If you have trouble finding that, give me a call and I'll help you out.
I'm working on a rewrite, that's right. I'm gonna change the ending. I'm gonna throw away my title and toss it in the trash. Every minute after midnight, all the time I'm spending is just for working on a rewrite, that's right. And I'm gonna turn it into cash.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
I'm a little bit nosy. I think we all are. Like to look at other folks' bookshelves. And so, Kathy Day, this is quite a bookshelf here.
Well, the books on the shelf used to be arranged by color of their spine. Like when my husband and I moved into this house, as we unloaded all of our books, we just put them in piles of red, orange, yellow, whatever. And so for a couple of years, these books were arranged by color. And so it was like a rainbow. But then we found that we couldn't find anything. But the nice thing was actually that
It would make you search and you'd find something.
Yeah, like there were like, now it's back to alphabetized, but there for a while, like, you know, you'd be looking for a particular book and then you're like, I forgot I had this book. And then you would find it and you would read it.
How often do you reread a book that?
I don't really reread books all that often. I think it's because I'm trying so hard to just stay current with books that are being written now that I don't have time to reread anything.
Are writers getting better? Is the fiction today technically or in any other way superior to what was done in the past? Do we grow in terms of our ability to tell stories like we grow in our ability to make computers? Or?
Well, I think that what's improving is that the people who are telling the stories, the number of people from all classes and walks of life are writing stories, whereas, you know, it's very hard to find stories by poor people 150 years ago. It's hard to find stories by people of color. It's hard to find stories by people who are gay or lesbian or transgender. So, you know, I think that that's what's improving is that we have more data. We have a better sense of what is going on in the world because there are just so many more people who are writing.
Okay, so I see you've got some Ian Fleming here. Tell me why you have 007.
I bought those for my husband for his birthday.
Oh, blame it on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is my favorite book, one of my favorite books.
What are we looking at?
E.L. Doctorow's Ragtime, which really was very inspirational in writing. It's historical fiction, but it's also very literary, and it uses real people. Like the novel I'm working on uses real characters, like in this novel, Evelyn Nesbit, and who else is in this? Harry Houdini, you know, all these Henry Ford are all in this book. But they're incorporated with lots of not real people. So this was a big inspiration for me for the book I'm writing now.
When you are reading and Doctorow, I mean, somebody of that quality, do you ever find yourself reading that and going, oh my gosh, I wish I could write like that?
Yeah. Actually, you have to really fight every day the sense that, well, this is so much better than the way I write. Why should I even try? And, you know, I've published two books and I'm almost done with my third, and I still feel like that every day. But I guess the hardest thing about living in a world in an age where we all are also connected is fighting the urge to compare yourself to other people. Doctorow is Doctorow, and I'm not trying to write that particular book. You just have to go on believing that your work has some sort of value.
Well, just for a second, going back to Ian Fleming, if you wrote a major series or something like that, could a teacher of creative writing reverse engineer successful?
Saying, like, do I want to write popular fiction?
Get rich, you know, all that sort of stuff.
I don't know. I think that it takes a special kind of writer to want to write like a series of books to really be into that particular world over a period of years. Like I've spent all this time right now in the Gilded Age, and I'm kind of done with it. I'll be glad to start on a different project. It's kind of hard for me to imagine writing something that would be, you know, like the Ian Fleming series, but that's just me.
Okay, so as we look along here, we're just looking at Kathy Day's bookshelf here.
Well, you know, I do think it's interesting for you to ask a question about popular versus literary fiction. One of the things that I think about a lot is, you know, certainly it is tempting to, like, the Ian Fleming books, that's an example of books that were maybe written to be popular, to be read in their time, you know, to be bestsellers. But they have stood the test of time because they've been turned into the films, and so we know about them and whatnot. But I think in general, it is better, and I tell my students this, to aspire to art whenever possible, because art, things that are artful, are what lasts. Those are the books that we want to read, go back and reread again and again. Do you know how many of my students say that the reason they started a creative writing major is because they read Twilight when they were in high school? And Twilight is not very well written. And they're like, hey, if this can get published, I could get published. And I think that's sort of good. But I also tell my students, I'm like, you know, I would like you to aspire for better than that. I want you to have higher aspirations than, hey, if this crap can get written, then my crap can get published.
Well, does it sort of come down to, you know, a rough division of this sort of thing into two? There's writing your story and then writing, trying to set out to write a hit. There's probably something greater to be said for just tell your story. Tell the story that's important to you.
I think, you know, I don't think about my work in terms of what genre it is or what niche it's going to fill or how it's going to be marketed. I just don't think in those terms. But I also understand that some people do that. I think that mainly you just have to, I don't write to market. Do you know what I mean? I don't write to a particular kind of book. I think that the best thing to do is just to write the book that you want to write, and then let the that's the only thing that you have control over. The rest of it is just, it's just luck and marketing.
Kathy Day, who teaches creative writing and fiction at Ball State, as we peruse the bookshelf at her home, she's just started an online course with the Midwest Writers Workshop called It's Time to Start Your Novel. You can get the details at their website, ongoing.midwestwriters.org, and then clicking on Course Directory in the upper right.
I love you, darling. Baby, you know I do. But I've got to see this book of love, find out why it's true.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
My name's Kathy Day, and I am a fiction writer, and I teach creative writing at Ball State University.
I think you are really well known for A Circus in Winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that, while a work of fiction, is not quite a novel, right? It's described
right.
Another way.
I think that when I wrote that book, pretty much when I was in graduate school and a couple years thereafter, and the reason it is the form that it is of linked short stories is that I didn't really know how to write a novel. I only knew how to take one subplot, basically, a plot and maybe a subplot, and take it through from beginning, middle to end in about 25 pages. That's what I knew how to do. What I didn't understand was how to take all those different plot threads and weave them together and extend it over more than 25 pages. In a way, it's like if you think about the difference between a show like Law and Order, where every episode is self-contained, versus a TV show like Mad Men or Friday Night Lights, where, you know, there is there's an arc to an episode, but there's also an arc to the whole season. That's what I didn't understand how to do. I just knew how to do Law and Order. I didn't know how to do Friday Night Lights. So you can actually learn a lot about novel writing from really looking closely at how season-long TV shows work. And if you think about each episode as a chapter that contains a bunch of scenes, and that there is a arc to the whole season, that really kind of helps you figure out like what it would take to write a novel.
You get the impression more people are writing today. Now, I mean, you can revise, you could dictate lines into your phone while you're
right
out walking or something. Are we writing more?
I think that definitely my students are writing all the time. They write on their phone. I have one student who says that she wrote her whole novel into Google Docs on her phone. And I do think that the word processing has definitely changed the number of people who want to write, because it's just made it so much easier to do that. So computer, like also not just word processing, which allows us to sort of fiddle and makes writing easier, but also laptops. If every computer, if we didn't have laptops, then people would have to sit in one place. But now we can basically take our novel wherever we go. So yeah, those have had, that's had a lot to do with the growth and the interest in novel writing.
The old saying, I think, is write what you know. To the extent that you give people advice about how they might find a story to write.
I actually think that many of my students begin their novels from a place of imitation, not writing what they know. And actually, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad idea to imagine, to teach yourself how to write a novel by taking a character in a world that you already are familiar with. Like, you don't have to build the world. I encourage them to, in a sense, write fan fiction. Just as a process to teach them, this is how, you know, musicians teach themselves how to play music. They imitate the bands and the songs that they love so well, and then they sort of go from there. I think actually setting yourself the task of like trying to write The Great Gatsby your first time out is probably not very reasonable. So I encourage my students not necessarily to write what they know, but to think about what electrifies their brain, what they're just totally geeked out about. Like, that's the only way that you can really propel yourself through the whole process of writing a novel, is that it's got to be something that you're just totally interested in seeing all the way through.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met.
Kathy Day, a fiction writer who teaches creative writing at Ball State University. Her online course with the Midwest Writers Workshop is called It's Time to Start Your Novel. And we've been talking about writing, even took a trip upstairs to check out the bookshelf in her home. For more information on the course, you can go to ongoing.midwestwriters.org and then click on Course Directory. If that's confusing or you have any trouble, give me a call and we'll go through it together. Oh, just a reminder, by the way, if you like Indiana Weekend and the other shows here, could you join us? Your gift really goes far in public radio. Please check out indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. And thanks. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.